Hey, I'm Rita.
And I'm Lee.
And welcome to the Me For Her podcast.
We are two gay women living polar opposite lives in different sides of the country, here to share our thoughts and experiences on a range of topics women go through between 20 and 30.
What's up, and welcome back to part 2 of episode 9, Lesbian Phone a Friend, where Lee and I answer questions that came through our DMs from you guys, which is really, really cool. So if you haven't already listened to part 1, probably go back and start there. But if you have, then we're going to kick off and continue the conversation.
Okay, let's move on to number 5.
Let's do it. So this one's for you, actually.
Okay.
How do couples keep romance alive during COVID? Since every day is the same routine, like I've watched every bloody movie on Netflix, and it's at the point where I'm running out of ideas on how to keep the spark alive. Any thoughts, Lee J?
Look, it's different. Obviously, for us, we were in lockdown for what felt like 45 seconds. It wasn't long at all compared to Melbourne. And
this might be the wrong analogy, but is lockdown sort of like marriage? Because, I mean, you do the same thing every day anyway.
Oh, no, not at all.
That's what she means. You know, you're at home, same routine.
Yeah, okay, but no, but it's not. It's not unless you have to be. Mm. Tay and I definitely have a routine. During the week, obviously, she works and Oak and I have our thing. But I think it's just like for Tay and I, it's really important that when she gets home from work and when we're together or when Oak's asleep, like we're not on our phones.
Yep.
We're either having a talk about the day or we're watching a movie or we are watching Netflix, but it's together and we're watching the same thing and we're laughing and we're talking and we're communicating. And Tay and I actually laugh a lot when Oak has gone to bed and I'm fucking hilarious. And when we go to bed and we're just laying there and we just talk crap, I think it's just making time to be with one another. Mm-hmm. One another. You don't need fancy restaurants. Like, yep. Tay and I used to go out to dinner all the time together. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it was great. And then obviously we had Oak and things have changed a little bit. We definitely don't go out as much as we used to.
Do you remember that time that a fishbone got stuck in my throat when we went
out? That was hilarious at Clancy's, and it literally was, your life was at risk.
It was at risk. Sorry, that was just one of our date nights where I crushed
it. Yes, Rita, I was going to say, Rita has been on a few of our dinners.
Yeah.
But I think it's just making time for each other to just talk and be with each other, because when you go out for dinner, that's the most important part.
Exactly.
Yes, you get to go out. But I think, like, you know, playing board games, Tay and I couldn't play board games. We're way too competitive with each other. But just making the time and not being on your phones, I think is such a bad habit these days. And I don't sleep with my phone anywhere near my head or near my bed. I'm a radiation phobe. Mm-hmm. But so Tay and I's phones are on flight mode from like the minute we get in bed, which sometimes could be 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just hanging out together. Mm-hmm. And yeah. And even when we're with Oak, like or if he's in the pram or we're going for a walk or we're just talking to each other, and I know that it doesn't seem like the same, but we just try and be with each other a lot. And if one of us has been on our phone a lot that evening or something, we'll pull each other up on it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, it's just about really being with each other and communicating and talking and enjoying the moment. And for us, that's as a family now.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes me feel connected to Tay's when we experience those fun moments and those really special moments as a family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you've hit the nail on the head.
I don't know if that's quite what, but I can only speak from where I'm at now.
Of course.
Tay and I obviously did a lot of different things before we had Oak, but we weren't in lockdown. But now, I guess, during COVID, you are restricted. You just really need to make time for one another with no distractions. And if you don't want to watch Netflix, then play a board game or look up on the internet and play Would You Rathers. Like, they're funny.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just things like that can just get you talking and laughing and
totally.
Yeah.
Yep. I'm going to go with your answer on that. I think communication is key. But what I did say to this person in the DMs was like, it's not just on you to keep the spark in a relationship alive. Like, it takes two to tango. And I think if you're feeling the pressure to uphold this spark and this romance, like that's a lot of pressure that you're probably putting on yourself. And I'd like to think that your partner probably wouldn't expect that of you. So, just reassess why you really feel that need to keep this romance alive, because if you are in it together, and I know these two people are, You know, then just being together should be enough. Like, just because you're in a new relationship doesn't mean it has to be exciting all the time. Sometimes the best moments in a relationship are on the couch doing nothing and just cuddling and having a laugh, you know? So,
yeah. And for me, Tay and I have been together for 7.5 years, and, you know, it's the little things that matter the most to me. Like, I think I can count on one hand the amount of notes Tay has written me in the time we've been together.
Oh,
and
God,
so when she does do it, it means a lot, because, and so do things you wouldn't normally do, like write notes or get cute little, I don't know, gifts. It doesn't have to be expensive. I mean, like a block of chocolate, or just ways to show you're thinking of one another.
Mm-hmm. Yep, write that.
And actually just tonight I said to Tay, I said I've organised, because Tay works, she's a very hard worker, and I said to her, I said, I've organised a dinner for you to go out with your friends next Friday night. And she was
That's cute.
Oh, thank you. Like, that was really thoughtful. That's just me though, babe, just a fucking thoughtful egg.
So thoughtful. Well, tonight and last night I decided I'd take myself on a day, went to the park, had a little picnic with a book. It's really cute.
No, I think also is that important is to have your own time as well, like Taylor and again, Tay going out for dinner with her. They're my friends as well.
Yeah.
But Tay just going on her own. Mm-hmm. It's nice for her to have that time on just her own and be herself, and I think that's important too. And I go out for dinner with my friends and I have time to myself. So I think that's important also is being you.
Agree.
And doing the things you love. This question, next question is for you, Reets, and I would love to know how would you propose?
Well, I'm not going to tell everyone. it's like I'm going to ruin the good surprise on you and our listeners.
Okay, well.
What if I meet the girl of my dreams and then my big idea is like out the way? And who's to say I would propose anyway?
You would. I know you would.
I would. I was just trying to fool you for a min.
No, you didn't at all. Would it be loud and extravagant in front of friends and family, or would it be personal and private and just you two?
I think it depends on the person, to be honest. I've always I've always thought of it being private, like a moment for just me and the significant other. But I guess it would depend on the person. Like, if they're loud and sort of like they're, you know, their friends and their family and things like I do, then who knows? But I think, yeah, that I'm definitely excited at the opportunity to propose to someone that, like, I feel like I want to spend my life with. Like, that's the best part of it. And, like, me being a hopeless romantic, like, I've dreamed of that since I was little and was bloody waitressing weddings every weekend. So
you would cry more than the person you're proposing to?
I don't know if I would. Maybe after.
Oh, you will.
Maybe after, not during. Oh, did Tay cry?
I can't wait. Yeah, she – oh, I think – no, she didn't. But she didn't cry at the proposal.
Mm-hmm.
She cried at our wedding.
Yeah.
And it was
cute.
Adorable. She was like, couldn't hold it in. And she's not a crier at all. You know that.
I'm going to cry at my wedding for sure, because just knowing – at Dee and Ella's wedding, I was the MC, and I was like, there was buckets of tears from me. And I was with them at the house getting ready and got them in, like, got Tay, got everything, and I was bawling my eyes out.
You will definitely cry. And will you tell me before you propose?
Yeah, 100%.
Who else would you tell? Would you ask for permission?
Yes, I would like to. I've always thought that would be nice if she had a good relationship with her family, which obviously not everyone does.
Would you ask for permission, or would you just let them know? Because I feel like it depends on the person also, but Tay called my brother, given that Ben's that sort of role model in my life, and just said, hey, Ben, like, they've got a great relationship, and said, I'm just letting you know that I'm proposing to leave tomorrow. And he really liked that. My brother-in-law did the same thing.
Yeah.
Neither of them really asked. I'm not sure if Eric asked, but Ben knew.
Yeah.
And that was really important. I think if Sian's future husband, if she has one, doesn't do it, then not the same. No. I think it's nice to let someone know.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's necessary, because you don't need anyone's permission to.
That's a really good point. I never thought about that. I guess what you're actually asking for is their blessing, and I'm sure that, like, the girl of my dreams, I plan to have a fantastic relationship with her family just like she will with mine, so I can't ever see that being a problemo. But
blessing I get. I think asking permission, again, depends on the family dynamic, depends on what the family's like, depends on what they value. Mm-hmm. But again, you only need one person's answer.
Yeah, so do you know what I mean? Oh my God, can you imagine if she said no? if she leaned back like the Matrix, like that girl, and was like, what? You want to marry me? Like, no, sorry if I gave you the wrong idea. Sorry, we're not together. What?
She's like, babe, I was your checkout chick. Like, we're not. What are you doing?
I asked you if you want a cheesy mutt scroll in a brown paper bag or in the clear bag from Bakes Delight.
And it's a deal, 2 for 1 today. I didn't give it to you because you're special. Okay. What does it mean when someone you are seeing says not tonight when you try to initiate sex? I'm going to answer this first.
Okay, all right, because I think this is interesting.
I'm interested to hear what you have to say, but it means fuck all.
Okay, right.
It means nothing. So when someone you are seeing, okay, so it's new, it's fresh. I get that.
Yeah.
But if they say no, like over and over and over and over and over again, like yes, be like, hey, like what's going on? If you want to have sex one night and they don't, it means nothing. It means they don't want to have sex that night. Like there could be multiple reasons why someone doesn't want to have sex that night. And even if it was the second night as well, I think that you can't read into that. And if it goes on for a while and, you know, you guys were intimate a lot and then it sort of stopped and then they, have a chat about it, communicate with them. But if someone you're seeing and you don't live with that person, so you only see them a couple of nights a week or whatever, if they say no one night, it is what it is. They just didn't want to have sex that night.
It's a very logical answer, Lee. I just didn't have it on my short list. I agree that you shouldn't read into it necessarily, but like I had like maybe they've got Sebastian, so like their period.
Yes, I knew what you meant. Yes.
Yeah. That's from Lorena. I guess this person in this context was sort of like, it was a bit of a casual thing. So even though there should never be expectations of physical intimacy, I guess in this relationship it was semi-expected because it was semi-fresh. And so this listener was just a bit curious as to what it might mean. But I definitely agree that it cannot necessarily mean anything. I think if it's a continuous thing, you need to have a conversation about it, but always respect it. You know, if your partner is not up for it, then you have to totally respect that and listen.
Totally, totally. I think if it's just a one-night thing, I'd say it could mean absolutely nothing.
Could mean that you're tired. Could mean you're just not feeling it.
Just mean you ate like a block of chocolate, you feel like a fat lard and you don't want anyone coming near you.
That's me a couple of times a week. All right, next question. Is being friends with your exes a thing? Discuss.
Totally. Totally. I think that depends on how you end. It depends on the type of people you are. It depends on whether or not you can have a healthy friendship after breaking up.
Yep.
I am friends with two of my, like I'd say friends. I'd call them friends, I guess, with two of my exes. Mm-hmm. But I do think that you always need a break from being in each other's lives to then differentiate between being a girlfriend and being just a friend. Because I think if you go from relationship to friend, you're still like, oh, but yesterday you were my girlfriend and now you're just my friend and there's been no time for me to heal and adjust from being in a relationship with you to just being your friend now. And I think that time is very crucial in allowing your relationship to then change and grow into something else that's not a intimate relationship.
Totally.
I definitely think you could be friends with your ex though.
Mm. Well, it's funny. Like I think there's definitely like such a denial stage post breakup. Like I know, speaking from experience, like I had the most warped reality straight after my breakup, pre like the whole break not talking period that you just spoke about. Like I was texting my ex breakup memes and sharing my breakup playlist with her and assuming completely that we would be best friends in no time. And like now a few months on, watching things unfold and having time and space apart, like those expectations have completely changed. Do you know what I mean? Like, I totally believe that you can be friends with exes, but I do think that it's circumstantial. And I think sometimes it's fine to not be friends with your ex, and that's okay. And that doesn't mean that you don't want the best for them. That doesn't mean that you don't want them to be happy. But it just means that you don't want them in your life, and your perceptions of them as a person in your life have changed.
Well, the thing is, when you're in a relationship with someone, you're serving a purpose to them, right? Emotionally, yes. Physically, mentally, they're gaining from you being in their life.
Yep.
If their feelings change and you're not serving them in those ways anymore, typically that person's true colors as a human being will show in a breakup, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And there is, if someone just, you know, if you're in a relationship and someone says, hey, my feelings have changed, like I'm tapping out, I wanted to be honest with you, and then that your ex became super duper nasty, like there is no need for that.
Yeah.
And I think if someone breaks up with you, and roles reversed, if someone breaks up with you because their feelings have changed and you now no longer serve that purpose to them, in turn, their true colors could show, and the way they then treat you could really make you reflect on who they are as a person and go, well, do you know what? Like, oh, I was only good to you when you had those feelings for me. And now that you don't have those feelings for me anymore, you treat me like a piece of shit. And I wanted to be in your life as your girlfriend because that's how you treated me really well. But if I'm going to get treated like this as someone who's not your girlfriend, then I don't really want you in my life because people can be great girlfriends and shit friends.
Yeah, that's really true. It's interesting because I've always thought, no, I'll be friends with all my exes. Like, and I guess history sort of shows that I have been. But I just think in recent times I've just changed my opinion. Like, and don't get me wrong, totally. Like I don't think my ex is an arsehole. I think we, you know, both said things and whatever when we broke up that weren't very nice to each other, as, you know, unfortunately happened in most breakups.
But I don't think you ever got nasty.
No.
I don't think you ever got nasty.
I think, you know, my feelings were hurt and things were said and what have you, and like I'm fine with her and I want her to be happy. But at this point in my life, like I don't really want her as a friend in my life. And I don't think that there's anything wrong with that. I don't wish anything ill on her. But yeah, I don't want to be friends with her at this point in time. But who knows? That might change one day, you know?
Well, I think during the breakup period, you sort of saw a different side of each other maybe.
Yeah.
And you've just gone, again, don't wish ill upon you, don't think you're a bad person, but not a friend for me.
Yeah, no, definitely, definitely. Perceptions changed. And which is, you know, I'm genuinely, I never thought that I'd feel that way about an ex. But here I am, you know, thinking, like, cool, I want you to be happy. I don't really want you in my life. And maybe she feels the same about me. I don't know. But it's sort of cool just to have that different opinion.
I remember when my probably only other real serious relationship ended, and that was the person that I was a bit of an asshole to in the, like I fucked up. They ended up leaving me. And that's a hand on heart. This isn't me trying to be cocky. That's the only person that's left me, right?
Yeah.
And there was things said about me and who I was, and they were hurt, and that was fine, and they said what they said, and but throughout it all, I only had really good things to say about that person.
Yep.
And it could have been my guilt, and I always said, even to Tay, nothing bad to say about that person. I think they're a really great person, and I wish we could have been friends.
Yep. True.
But I think maybe that's because I felt guilty about what had happened.
Yeah.
But I always knew that that sort of character and that sort of person is someone I would value as a friend in my life.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas I think when you're with someone and you break up, sometimes you can go love them as a girlfriend, but again, not someone I want as a friend.
Yep. Yep. Totally fair enough.
How do you make friends that you can relate to and have similar morals to and values to? So how do you make friends, I guess, in this day and age?
Good question. And it's interesting. I was listening to a podcast recently about accountability. And I think it's like you have to put effort in. Like you can't just yes. go about your walk to the post office and expect to meet decent humans who you connect with and you have shared values with. Like you really have to think about your common interests. Sport has been a common denominator for the both of us, and it's actually yes. connected us both. So I think
yes.
hobbies or sport, I know not everyone's into sport, but it is a great way to meet like-minded people. I think you have to put effort in. If it's, you know, in a COVID world, it's a little bit harder, but you need to look for common connections or what are your interests and how can I find more people that like the same things that I did. When I was single for a while, I went lesbian speed dating and it was fucking uncomfortable as shit, but I did it to get outside of my comfort zone and meet people. And I just think you have to do stuff like that to try and put yourself out there. What do you think?
I definitely, yeah, sport for me has always been a massive connector for me. Since being a mum, though, a lot of my original friends that I had prior to being a mum weren't mums.
Yeah, yeah.
So for me, connecting with people that are mums now was a bit hard at the start. I don't know if hard's the word, but it was different because I had such a large group of friends that we hung out with all the time through footy or soccer. And then I became a mum and things changed for me. My lifestyle changed, priorities changed.
People without kids just don't get it. Or if they haven't been around kids, they don't understand.
No, they don't.
I used to be they like don't. That. Yeah.
No, and but some people do. Like mm-hmm. we've got some really close friends that do really get it. But yeah. Then we've got some that really don't get how much your lifestyle changes.
Yeah, totally.
And that you're not just trying to be a flake, that mm-hmm. things just happen. But I had to go and make, and I sort of just connected with, like I kept my friends that don't have kids. You don't just get rid of them because they don't have kids. They're great friends to have.
Thank you.
But I connected with old school friends or friends that I knew, that family friends that I knew had kids. I met, one of my closest friends now, Shannon, who mm-hmm. I've talked about a lot. I met her in swimming lessons and
yeah.
she's like my go-to mum now. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and I guess it's just people who've got things in common, you just – but I did. I sort of reached out to those friends again once I was pregnant or had Oak and just became – created friendships that way. But it is all relatable. I mean, I guess it depends on the sort of – position you are in life and what you value and what you enjoy doing. I guess it's hard at the moment, especially if you're in Melbourne, you can't really go meet anyone naturally or organically. But I would just go do the things I enjoy and yeah. like, I don't know, if it's rock climbing or something,
yeah,
go do that and I don't know, I guess you'll meet people there.
Totally. Well, it's interesting. Like I've connected with a friend recently who's in my bubble, my 5K radius, and we've never hung out normally. But because we're in our bubble, we just got talking and we decided to start like going for walks and hanging out and stuff. And that's been really great. So our common denominator is it sport in this case, we live in 5Ks from within each other. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I also think just appreciate people for who they are, like just love people for who they are. They may not agree with everything you say or do, or have the same exact same humor as you or live exactly the same way as you. But if you can connect on some level or have a laugh on some level and enjoy each other's company in some level, don't write them off. Like you're not going to meet people and just agree on absolutely everything and be exactly the same and have exactly the same humor. And I think just appreciating people for who they are and what they can bring into your life, that's the best way to make friends, to be honest. Because again, being a mum, I've got some mum friends and one comes to mind especially who is super quiet. She's from another country. And she's super quiet, super just really quite softly spoken, and we have very different humours. But I just meet her where she is and she meets me where she is, and she doesn't get offended by my sarcasm, and I don't get her offended by her lack of my humour. And it's just, yeah, we just, you know, we find things to talk about, and I just meet her where she's at and I connect with her, and I just think people get written off way too easily these days if, you know, they're not agreeing on absolutely everything.
Very, very true. Good point. All right, Lee, that was cool. I actually thought some of those questions were quite interesting and it was good to hear your take on a couple of questions.
Well, I actually didn't really read the questions until tonight, and I like doing that because I don't like to preempt things and I don't like to plan my answers.
Yeah.
But then it sort of just puts you in the spot and you're like, fuck, I wish I'd just thought about this. But no, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed that. Again, it puts you on the spot, and I really like talking about my engagement.
Oh my god, I love hearing about your engagement.
I'm gonna find a photo to post on our Me for Her pod.
Great idea. And thank you to everyone who connected with us and shared some topics for us to talk about. That was really cool.
We love hearing from you all, and we'd love to hear more suggestions from you all, because we definitely do read it all and take it into account. And if you've asked for a certain topic and we haven't talked about it yet, we will, because we've got a lot of episodes planned in advance.
Mm-hmm. So what are we talking about next week, Lee?
Well, next week's very different, Rita, and this is a very, very sensitive topic. We've actually got a friend coming on, and she will be talking to us about suicide, a situation that happened very closely to her. And you and I will both be on, and I guess we should warn our listeners now that we will be talking about suicide and death, and if that's not something you're comfortable in listening to and it's not something that you're in a good place to be listening to, we warn you now. Obviously, it's a very heavy-hearted conversation, but I'm excited to allow this person the space to feel safe in talking about it. And you've had your own experience with a family member dying that's very close to you. And I'm looking forward to, again, allowing you both the safe place to come and talk about it and raise awareness towards it all, I guess. We're not just here for laughs. Again, we want to educate people, and I'm looking forward to it in a way, because I've never had to deal with someone close to me taking their own life, touch wood, and I'm grateful for that. But I've had people in my life that have, and I guess it's good to know how to approach people and, you know, how to be there for someone.
Yeah.
Because it's a really hard situation to be in when you want to be there for someone who's going through such a traumatic time in their life and you don't know how. So for me, as someone who doesn't know how that feels, it's going to be a real learning curve for me. And I'm looking forward to it in that sense. But obviously it's going to be a really tough conversation.
Yeah, I'm a little bit nervous, to be honest. I've never really spoken about my experiences openly. So, but more importantly for me to have, you know, my good friend Katie come on. We've spoken about it and held fundraisers for Beyond Blue in the past, but to actually openly talk about, you know, our fathers and, you know, them taking their own lives, that's going to be pretty confronting. But I think, like you said, it's a really important message to share with others. And I'm looking forward to it.
So what we can do is I'm going to conduct my own questions as, you know, someone who hasn't been in that position, and I know I've got questions that I'd like to ask, but we'll put it out there to you guys. If you've got any questions that you'd like me to ask, if maybe you've got a friend that's been in that position and you've not known how to be there, or if someone's in that position now and you don't know how to be there, or if you just like to know, pardon me, how to be there for someone, send your questions through. I'm more than happy to conduct them myself. But yeah, if you've got questions, send them through, and we'd love to hear from you all.
Sounds like a plan.
All right, see you guys.
We'll see you next week, guys. Thanks again for listening to another episode of Me for Her Pod. We love you guys. We can't believe how many of you are connecting with us on our Instagram at Me for Her Pod. If you really love our pod, please share it with friends. That's the best way to help us grow. Make sure you follow us and tag us on Instagram, and we'll speak to you soon. See you guys.